Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, it's time for Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, talk some college football. On our Progressive guest line, Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. This is going Throwback Thursday 2003, Steve Bartman at Wrigley Field, Game 6 of the NLCS. Hi, how are you, Jerry? Thanks for joining us as always.
Well, I'm a Cubs fan, so not as good as I was 30
Oh, seconds. Yeah, I know. That's what we do sometimes on Throwback Thursday. Sorry about that. Jerry, let's get to Alabama's loss to Texas A&M. A lot of Monday morning quarterback, a lot of people are like, well, Alabama was struggling this and this and this. I get we do that. Was there any signs to you, though, like in the Florida game, for example, that they were vulnerable to a game like this?
Well, yeah, I suppose, because, you know, that's the only time Alabama had played in front of a hostile crowd.
Yeah.
And they didn't really play that well. And they got off to a bad start in the A&M game. And, you know, I've watched Alabama a lot, obviously, like most college football people. And, you know, I never really give up on them because you've just seen time and again how they can get off to a slow start and come back and win and maybe even win big. But, you know, when they got that lead late in the game, I thought that was it. Now A&M is done. You know, Alabama has finally, you know, put it away. And, no, you got to give A&M a lot of credit that they came back and found a way to win that game. A tremendous effort by Texas A&M. And Alabama does have some problems. The offense, well, for all the points they scored, still left some on the field. And the defense, especially on the road, just had, and even at home some. I mean, the defense is not dominant like we're used to seeing Alabama defenses be. It doesn't matter because the offense is usually plenty good enough. But the last few years, it's been more of an offense oriented team than a defense oriented team, and this time the fact that the defense couldn't make plays when they needed to cost them a game.
All right, let's go to the one of the other outcomes on from Saturday, and that was Oklahoma and Texas. And once again, those two, a wild, crazy game. It feels like we've been getting that lately all the time. But what does Lincoln Riley have now? He's got a Spencer Rattler, Caleb Williams kind of debate going on right now. What's that doing for him? What do you think he's going to go with that?
Well, I think he's got to go with Williams in the next game. So, you know, we'll see how he goes. But you can't give up on Spencer Rattler because, first of all, he's a pretty good player who's had a rough start to this season. But secondly, you may still need him. You know, Williams gets hurt, Rattler's got to go right back out there. So you can't just bury that kid and hope he never plays again because, you know, in football at every level, your backup quarterback's a pretty important player because you never know when you're going to need him if Williams gets hurt or is just turns out to be ineffective as well as he gets a little deeper and people scout him, you know, and can figure out how to defend him better. It's you can't give up on Spencer Rattler.
What do we make of Oklahoma? I mean, this is a team, again, that's 6-0, but it feels like they just win by the hair of their chinny-chin-chin all the time.
Yeah, 7 points, their largest margin of victory. So far this season against FBS teams, I think they played an FCS team they beat by 100. But it's a team that's just getting by, and they've won, in a sense, both ways. They've won shootouts that were close games, and they've won lower-scoring games that were close games. So, you know, it's almost like the other team dictates the tempo, and they just go right along and find a way to win. At some point, they may not find a way to win, and I don't know that that's this week, but, you know, there are going to be other tough games ahead. They still have to play Iowa State. They still have to play Oklahoma State. They may play one of those teams or Texas again. So, you know, they're going to have to find a way to start putting away some of the teams they need to be putting away.
There's another team in that state, and that's Oklahoma State. They were on a bye week, but they've got Texas coming up on Saturday. They're 5-0. They keep moving up in the polls. They're 12th now. I don't know much about the Cowboys other than they're unbeaten. What does Mike Gundy have in Stillwater?
Yeah, well, I think we're going to find out this week because I don't know that they've truly been tested. You know, I think Baylor went in there as an undefeated team, and Oklahoma State won that game. But, I think that the better test for Oklahoma State are ahead. Usually, they're a high-scoring team. I don't know that they're quite as prolific offensively as they have been in the past, but they can score, but the defense is better. And so, you know, it'll be interesting because Texas can light up scoreboards and tends to play high-scoring games. So we'll see if Oklahoma State is happy to run with those guys.
Now, let's go to Texas. That's a tough loss, obviously, being up by a lot and then losing a rivalry game like that. But what are some good things that Texas is doing?
Well, they're scoring. Man, they can score the ball. It's they had, 70 against Texas Tech. They're in the upper 40s against Oklahoma. I mean, this is a team that can light up scoreboards, and they can run and they can throw. And I mean, they're a stress on any defense. The problem is our own defense hasn't been quite good enough. It's good enough to win most games, but not good enough to beat the good teams yet. And that's where they have to get better. But when you can score like these guys score, you always have a puncher's chance.
Iowa taking on Purdue. The Hawkeyes ranked 2 in the AP poll. Big win, obviously, over the weekend. Is this a special Iowa team, or is it just catching what they have now and it's going to get tougher for them? Where are they right now?
I think it is a special Iowa team. I mean, they're not a great offensive team, but they take care of the ball and they do enough things offensively. And when you've got a defense as good as that Iowa defense is, and there are few, Georgia notably, better on defense than Iowa is this year. And Iowa's the best in the country at taking the ball away. And Iowa's offense protects the ball. So, that's a pretty good formula for winning. It doesn't make for exciting football, perhaps. But the Bears won an 85 Super Bowl that way. So, I'm not comparing these guys to that other than stylistically. But, you can win the way Iowa plays football, and they're doing it. They're getting a Purdue team coming off an off week, but a team that has a hard time taking care of the football and a hard time scoring because of that, but also has one of the better defenses in the Big Ten. So this figures to be kind of a low-scoring game.
Florida's going to take on LSU, and this is more on the LSU side of it. They're 3-3, and I know Ed Orgeron has been involved in things off the field, but they keep bringing up the hot seat, and I feel like that's always going to be there. It was always there with Les Miles. Is this just talk, or is there something a little bit more to it this time?
No, I think there's something more to it. I mean, last year you could put aside it's COVID year. They had a lot of roster issue with that, and what are you going to do? But, this year's team, they're having some injuries. There's still some roster issues there, but they haven't really been effective at any point in this season, even when they win. They just don't look like the kind of team that can compete in this division. And it's funny because 2 years ago, they were celebrating a national championship.
Right.
And now Ed Orgeron may not survive the season.
Cincinnati Bearcats are now heading into their more into their conference slate, and there are no ranked teams on that. If you're the Bearcats, do you have to do that box scoring politics, if you will, just to start impressing committee members by winning by 50 all the time? What do they have to do to stay where they are, at least in the minds of people that are making big decisions on their future?
Don't they have UCF this week?
They do.
I think.
They do.
Yeah, that's
UCF.
Probably not a 50. I mean, UCF is not UCF, but that's probably also not a 50-point win. Yes, I think the
eye isn't Gus Malzahn. More... Is that true? That's right. Gus Malzahn's there, right?
Yes, he is.
So it's still a good team.
Although they lost the Navy the other day.
That's true.
Other week, yeah. Cincinnati, I believe that they need to look like a playoff team every time they play.
Right.
There's not very much margin for error. Now, that doesn't mean you win by 50, but it means you look like a team that can compete for a national title. You want to play as well as you can. You don't worry about the score. You don't worry about hurting anybody's feelings. You go out and play as well as you can. And the committee is watching. Unlike some of us who can't watch every game, and just see scores and make a judgment based on a score, the committee's actually watching these guys. So, it's important to make a good impression and to look like a playoff team against, a schedule that's going to not challenge them as much as some teams in other leagues may be challenged. And it would really be helpful. I mean, so Cincinnati's going to depend on help from others. They need Notre Dame to be a 10 or 11 win team. They need SMU, the most likely candidate in that league, to step up and continue to play well and end up in the rankings even after two losses to Cincinnati, because they play in the regular season and then a conference championship game. So they need 10-3 SMU also,
right,
so they have another win over a ranked team. But they can't control that. All they can do is go out and take care of their business as best they can, play at a high level every week, and hope that's enough.
The Big Ten, there's some undefeated teams. There's teams that are ranked. It looks like it's really good, but we've seen conferences go through this and then more and more play each other and then sort of weeds it out. But overall, is the quality of play across the board of these teams that are ranked, is it good? Is there any fool's gold here? How do you see this conference?
No, the Big Ten East is stacked. Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State all look, pretty good. They can't all be 10-win teams because they play each other, right? And they're just going to be beating each other up and – somebody's going to probably end up 9-3, and that's okay. You could still be a really good team, and end up 9-3. And then Penn State had the misfortune of having to play Iowa cross division as well. So, but that division is really tough, which is why Ohio State at 12-1 has a chance to be in the playoffs ahead of Oregon at 12-1, even though Oregon beat them, because the strength of schedule that Ohio State plays is going to be so much better than Oregon's.
Jerry, always good talking to you. We will catch you next week to break down even more college football. Appreciate it as always, my friend.
All right. Thanks.
You got it. Jerry Palm, CBS Sports, going through the college football games this weekend. All right. When we come back, we'll continue along. Thoughts on the baseball playoffs, including the game 5 tonight as we continue on Wake Up Call.